రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం 11th క్యాంటో 11th చాప్టర్ టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 23.
శ్రద్ధాలుర్మత్కతా శృణ్వ సుభద్రాలోక పావనీ గాయన్ననుస్మరం కర్మ జన్మచాభినయన్ముహుః. శ్రద్ధాలుర్మత్కథా శృణ్వ సుభద్రాలోక పావనీ గాయన్ననుస్మరన్ కర్మ జన్మచాభినయన్ముహుః. శ్రద్ధాలుర్మత్కథా శృణ్వ సుభద్రాలోక పావనీ గాయన్ననుస్మరన్ కర్మ జన్మచాభినయన్ముహుః. గాయన్ననుస్మరన్ కర్మ జన్మచాభినయన్ముహుః. శ్రద్ధాలుర్మత్కథా శృణ్వన్ సుభద్రాలోక పావనీః గాయన్ అనుస్మరన్ కర్మ జన్మచాభినయన్ముహుః. శ్రద్ధాలుర్మత్కథా శృణ్వన్ సుభద్రాలోక పావనీః గాయన్ అనుస్మరన్ కర్మ జన్మచాభినయ.
వైష్ణవీస్
శృణ్వన్ లోక పావనీ గాయన్ అనుస్మరన్ కర్మ జన్మచాభినయన్ముహుః. శ్రద్ధాలుర్మత్కథా శృణ్వన్ సుభద్రాలోక పావనీ గాయన్ అనుస్మరన్ కర్మ
దర్ ఇస్ వన్ మోర్ కనెక్టెడ్ వర్స్ అలాంగ్ విత్ దిస్.
మదర్తే ధర్మ కామార్థాన్ ఆచరన్ మదపాశ్రయ లభతే నిశ్చలాం భక్తిం మయుద్ధవ సనాతనే.
వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్.
శ్రద్ధాలుః
ఎ ఫెయిత్ఫుల్ పర్సన్,
మత్కథాః
నరేషన్స్ అబౌట్ మీ,
శృణ్వన్
హియరింగ్,
సుభద్రాః
విచ్ ఆర్ ఆల్ ఆస్పిషియస్,
లోక
ద ఎంటైర్ వరల్డ్,
పావనీ
ప్యూరిఫైయింగ్,
గాయన్
సింగింగ్,
అనుస్మరణ్
రిమెంబరింగ్ కాన్స్టెంట్లీ,
కర్మ
మై యాక్టివిటీస్,
జన్మ
మై బర్త్,
చ
ఆల్సో
అభినయన్
రీలివింగ్ త్రూ డ్రామాటికల్ పర్ఫార్మెన్సెస్ ఎక్సెట్రా ఎక్సెట్రా. Which means not only drama, katha, ganam, natyam, everything.
Muhuhu,
again and again.
Madarte,
for my pleasure.
Dharma,
religious activities.
Kama,
sense activities.
Arthan,
and commercial activities.
Acharan,
performing.
Mat,
in me.
Apashrayaha,
having one's shelter.
Labhate,
one obtains.
Nishchalam,
without deviation.
Bhaktim,
devotional service.
Mayi,
to me.
Uddhava,
O Uddhava.
Sanatane,
dedicated to my eternal form. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My dear Uddhava, narrations of my pastimes and qualities are all auspicious and purify the entire universe. A faithful person who constantly hears, glorifies, and remembers such transcendental activities, who through dramatic performances relives my pastimes, beginning with my appearance, and who takes full shelter of me, dedicating his religious, sensual, and occupational activities for my satisfaction, certainly obtains unflinching devotional service to me, the eternal personality of Godhead. The first two paragraphs of the purport are as follows. Those who have faith only in impersonal effulgent aspect of the Supreme Lord, and those who have faith only in the localized super soul, the perfect object of mystic meditation, located in the heart of every living entity, are considered to be limited and imperfect in their transcendental realization. The process of mystic meditation and impersonal philosophical speculation are both devoid of actual love of God, and therefore cannot be considered to be the perfection of human life. Only one who places full faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes qualified to go back home, back to Godhead. Which means those who are impersonalists or yogis, their worship of the Lord is not done out of full-blown love. On the other hand, a bhakta worshipping the Bhagavan, that is done out of love. And the basis for such love is the faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada says. The next para. Lord Krishna's pastimes of stealing butter from the elderly gopis, enjoying life with his covered boyfriends and the young gopis, playing his flute and engaging in the rasa dance, etc., are all auspicious spiritual activities, and they are fully described in the 10th canto of this work. There are many authorized songs and prayers glorifying these pastimes of the Lord, and by constantly chanting them, one will automatically be fixed in smaranam, a remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord exhibited his opulences upon his birth in Kamsa's prison, and at the birth ceremony subsequently performed by Nanda Maharaj in Gokula. The Lord further performed many adventurous activities, such as chastising the serpent Kaliya and many other irresponsible demons. One should regularly take part in the ceremonies commemorating Krishna's pastimes, such as the Janmashtami celebration, glorifying the Lord's birth. On such days, one should worship the deity of Lord Krishna and the spiritual master, and thus remember the Lord's pastimes. First of all, I offer my respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of all the devotees, so that my description or elaboration of this commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam will be in line with all the acharyas in our disciplic succession, and will also be able to touch the heart of devotees and rekindle some devotion to the Supreme Lord, which is the ultimate goal of all our Vedic study. So, we are entering into a very important section from this shloka onwards, where Supreme Lord Krishna is telling to Uddhava about how we should do devotional service. Prior to this, there was a lot of talk about jnana. Now, from this verse onwards, Lord is beginning to say exactly how the devotional service to Him should be performed. So, if we very attentively study all these verses, along with the proper nicely given purports from various acharyas commentaries, we will be immensely benefited. One example I will tell you how I personally benefited. There is one verse in which, in the series of verses, I think 1920, I think, in the same chapter only, I first heard that famous verse.
Yadrachayamatkathadau jatashraddhastu yappuman nanirvinno natisakto bhakti yogosya siddhidah.
This is one verse. So the meaning of this verse is Yadrachayamatkathadau. If somebody spontaneously enters a temple and he saw the katha of the Lord going on, and when one hears the kirtan or katha or discussion with a saintly devotee of the Lord, katadav jata shraddhastu yapuman, the shraddha for bhakti to Krishna arises in his heart. For whom? Nanirvinno, he says, that person should not be too much disgusted. Na atisakto, you should not be too much attached to this world. Bhakti yogosya siddhidaha, for then he can obtain the bhakti yoga. Like this verse says. So I asked one devotee, what is the meaning of this? Na nirvindo na atisakto. So he said, na nirvindo means one should not be too much detached also, and one should not be too much attached also. But we need some attachment to material world. In between, you need. So we should have some attraction for parents and friends, and some attraction to opposite sex, and some attraction for enjoying the worldly delights. Because it says that one should not be na nirvindo also, correct, no? You are not supposed to be too disgusted. And na atisakto. At the same time, you should not be so attached that you leave and run away behind them. Like that he said. Somehow I felt there is something wrong in this explanation. I have been asking different devotees. Therefore, I am telling you the verses that Krishna speaks to Uddhava are extremely mysterious without taking guidance from Acharya's purports. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries are regularly referred by Srila Prabhupada in his purports. So we should take shelter of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, who is a great authority on especially pastimes with mellows. He is very, very expert in that. So then I thought, let me refer it. When I referred to it, my Lord, it was like switching on a light in a dark room. It was so enlightening. You want to know the meaning? So you can hear, this is what he says. He says, na nirvindo means, your bhakta is so fortunate, he does not become overly disgusted with the outside world. Now what is the problem in becoming overly disgusted? Sometimes a person who is overly disgusted becomes a fanatic. Extreme fanatic. Like there was one, I heard about one saffron brahmachari abroad. He was wearing saffron socks, saffron cap, saffron jolna bag, saffron pen. He had a saffron toothbrush also. Everything in saffron only. He would not talk to any woman at all. Very fanatical. So one lady came to the temple and asked, where is the president's room? Can you show me? He said, madam, don't you know, we brahmacharis don't talk to women, he said. So she said, already you're talking, at least show me the hand. Where is the president's room? So, in this way, of course, this fanatic brahmachari couldn't survive for long. Some people are extremely fanatical. Like, once the devotees asked Prabhupada, how many chapatis should be given to Gurukula children? Prabhupada said, they are small, maybe they can eat 2 or 3. But after the children grew up to 10 or 12, they wanted more chapatis. But they were told, Prabhupada said, you can take only 2 or 3 chapatis. Of course, with growing body, you need more chapatis also. So, the fanatical application of bhakti is condemned. It's not proper. So, therefore, na nirvindo means a overly disgusted person develops hatred in the heart, and that hatred chokes his bhakti, and one cannot advance in devotional service. Rather, his attention is on what he hates, not what he loves. We are supposed to love Krishna, not just develop hatred for the material world. Therefore, Dhruva Maharaj was warned by Swayambhava Manu.
samyacharosham bhadram te. He said, enough of your anger, Dhruva. You are already a pure devotee who has attained bhakti to Lord Vasudeva and you have seen him eye to eye. Your ticket back to Godhead is already booked. So now don't commit any last minute blunder. Otherwise you'll be detained. So better you stop your hatred and anger towards yakshas. Even he was warned at that stage also. Such an advanced stage. Therefore, na nirvinno is said. At the same time, na atisakto, he says. One should not be overly attached also. Like for example, even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very respectful and affectionate to his mother Sachimata after taking sannyas when he met her in Shantipur. And you will find him, how he, when she cried, Mahaprabhu said, my dear mother, I am such a fool that I took sannyas without your permission. Now if you tell me, I can even come home because this body belongs to you. You gave me birth. Therefore, you tell me where I should be, I will be there. You tell me what I should do, I will do. I am your property. Like that he said, Mahaprabhu said. So now, if any brahmachari tells this to any mother nowadays, mother will say, okay, you are my obedient child, you stay at home only. Correct, no? They will say, you are going to be so obedient, like Mahaprabhu told his mother, you just stay with me. See, one father who was very angry with his son joining full time. So he purchased Bhagavatam set from our temple. I was surprised. He had such an anger on devotees. How is he purchasing Bhagavatam set? Then his son told me he wants to read Bhagavatam to find out where Prabhupada says one should obey the father. And later on, after three, four months, the father came and quoted in 10 places Prabhupada says son should obey the father. You know. So in this way, somebody, parents may, in the modern times, may say that stay at home even with your saffron, they may say, which is actually not the proper behavior. One should not be circled by one's relatives and parents staying at home in saffron. It's not proper. And that was known to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as well as Sachimata. Therefore, Mahaprabhu told, if you tell me, I will stay at home. He knows that she is not going to allow him to stay at home. But he took care of her sentiments. See, you know the difference between sentiment and sentimental. We had one lecture called Mental, Sentimental, Transcendental. So we have to know the difference. So mental means becoming moody. Sentimental means bhavuk, emotional. Whereas sentiment is different. Sentiment actually means, like for example, Gopalabhatta Goswami had a sentiment in his heart that I only have Shaligram Shila. If only I had a, you know, Sri Vigraha, like Rup Sanatan and all have, I would have put very nice dress for my Shaligram Shila. One businessman is offering very nice outfits for the deities along with the ornaments and everything. He is giving all other Goswamis, but I am not able to offer to my Shaligram Shila. Like that, he had a sentiment to want to worship the Lord in his Sri Vigraha form. That night when he slept on Narsimha Chaturdashi night, next day morning, Lord Radharaman had erupted from the Shaligram Shila in his beautiful small form. Shri Shri Radharaman ki. So he understood the sentiment of Goswami. So he came in that form. That's called sentiment actually. Similarly, Sachimata actually knew the right conduct. She told her son, no, you are a sannyasi now, you should not stay at home, you go back. But why I am telling you, even after one becomes a brahmachari or a sannyasi, one should be very affectionate to mother and father, brothers and sisters, and family members. Because affection is a symptom of soul. If one has no affection, then one is considered a stone. But why a renunciate may become sometimes very fanatical with parents, that goes to show his weakness of heart. He is fearful that if I look at them and speak affectionately, when they smile, I will become sentimental. I will be dragged by them. And I will cry and I will go home, be with them. So he is not internally secure. He is not internally strong. Therefore he may behave nirvinna. Disgust he may show. So therefore, one should not show artificial disgust, such kinds of disgust, which is actually considered on the material platform. Because aversion and attachment are two sides of the same coin. We should know how to be affectionate and not become attached. We should know how to be detached and not be indifferent. And so we have to keep ourselves in between. Mahaprabhu was not indifferent to his mother, but he was detached from family. He was actually affectionate to devotees also, but he didn't become so attached that he said, devotees are not allowing me, how will I go to South India for preaching? Devotees are not allowing me to go to Vrindavan, how will I go? Because I am attached to them. No, he was affectionate. At the same time, he also had detachment also. Vairagya Vidya, Nijabhakti Yogam, Shikshartameta, Purusha Purana, it is said. So we should have affection, at the same time detachment also, the combination of the two. So therefore, Narendra Vrindo, Na Atisakto, Bhakti Yoga Sishididaha. Meaning what? Devotee of the Lord, whether you are a Grihastha or a Brahmachari or whatever, one should know how to deal with material energy without becoming entangled. I had given a topic for one lecture called Catching Fish Without Getting Wet. Of course, that lecture became hit not because of the content, because of the heading. Sometimes you give a very attractive heading, then everybody is curious. Hey, how do you catch fish without getting wet? If you put your hand in the water, you will get wet. People wonder like that. But the meaning of that lecture is how to be affectionate and not become attached. How to be how to be detached at the same time, not become indifferent or not ignore people. Correct, no? So, this is a very great art. So, that's what that verse explains. Na nirvindo, na atisakto. Like, for example, even for family people, they have husband, wife, children, parents. They have to take care. Shastra say they can't discard the relatives. If a man is catching the hand of his wife and doing agnivalam, then till, you know, his last breath, he should be able to maintain her. Or if he wants to take sannyas, he has to take wife's permission also. Otherwise, he's not allowed. So, that kind of responsibility is there. At the same time, he's also taught that you should not become attached also. Now, how do you know what is attachment, what is affection? Actually, attachment is binding. Affection is elevating. You can see that. Actually, there are husband and wives who are very affectionate to each other and together they advance in devotional service very nicely. But if they become attached to each other, both forget Krishna and become attached to each other. Krishna is out of the picture. Isn't it? Then the wife becomes a deity for him. Then he may bring all kinds of saris, decorator, ornaments and circumambulator. And he is orbiting around wife only. That is attachment. Affection means both are boosting each other's Krishna consciousness. She is thinking, oh, my husband is working. Let me serve him in such a way that his devotional service won't be hampered. So, like in Pune, there is one couple. Like, husband comes in the morning. He comes Mangalarti, Narsingarti, Tulasi Arati and chanting. So exactly after chanting, you will see him running back to home. And his wife will come that time. She will join Shringar Darshan and Bhagavatam class. And then when she goes back home, by the time the husband has kept everything ready, sabji and all, he will cut and keep it ready. And then wife will cook. And then while eating, the wife will, you know, share with the husband what she heard in Bhagavatam class. Wonderful, no? So this is affection. They know how to manage their life. So therefore, that verse should not be misunderstood. Na nirvindo, nati sakto, bhakti yogo se siddhidaha. So that means we should know how to live in this world without getting entangled. At the same time, be affectionate to the jivas. So in the same manner, I'll tell you another verse in this series. Ya nasta ya naro rajan na pramadyeta karihichet dhavan unmilya vanetre na patetna skaledhiha. In this verse, Lord Krishna is telling Uddhava that actually yanastaya naro rajan na pramadyata karhiti. Actually, if somebody is blindfolding his eyes and running very fastly, he will not slip and he will not fall down, he says. You want to try it? Huh? You blindfold yourself and run on the road fastly. Of course, Bombay Road, don't run here. The traffic is pretty heavy. Even if you run in a playground, with your eyes blindfolded, you will not slip, you will not fall. So this he is telling for Bhakti Yoga. If somebody in the path of Bhakti Yoga does not know Shruti and Smriti, these two are considered to be two eyes. He has not heard Shruti, he has not studied the Smriti and Puranas also, and he is blindfolded, means he is as if ignorant fellow. but he has surrendered to a spiritual master, like that South Indian Brahman who was studying Bhagavad Gita in the Srirangam temple. He doesn't know Shruti Smriti so much, or he hasn't understood them, but he has taken shelter of a guru and he is practicing Bhakti Yoga. It appears he is blindly practicing. So how do you know whose faith is blind faith, whose faith is genuine faith? Here there is a talk about faith. Actually, if you talk to people, you can easily understand who has genuine faith. One day in Vrindavan, the Banki Bihari temple, it was a festival day, heavily crowded day. One sage entered the temple and another man was coming from the opposite side, and they both hit each other and both of them fell down to the ground. And then the sage got up and dusted his clothes. He was pretty furious. He looked at the other fellow and said, "Are you blind?" He asked him. So that fellow said, "Yes sir, I am blind, I am sorry, I am blind," he said. He was actually blind. Therefore they hit each other. So the sage became even more angry. He said, "What is the work of blind people in the temple? Because you are not going to get darshan of the deities. Why are you coming and disturbing other people, like bhaktas like me, who are coming to temple? I am entering temple, you are coming and hitting on me. Better stay at home." And then the blind man said, "Sir, I am not coming to temple to take darshan of the Lord. Naturally, my eyes are blind, I can't see him. But I want to be seen by the Lord. I want to put my hajar in the morning. Good morning, sir. Good morning, Gopinath. Like that, I will come to temple and good morning," he said, you know. We say, "No, Uttishta, Uttishta Govinda, Uttishta Garudadvaja, Uttishta Kamala Kanta, Trailokyam Mangalam Kuru." So, Tava Suprabhatam. Suprabhatam means good morning. Don't think I am telling anything, anything on my own. Suprabhatam means good morning. So, it's not wrong to tell Lord good morning. Of course, Mata samasta jagatam adukaita bhare vaksho viharini manohara devya murte shri swamine shridana priyadana shile shri venkatesha daite tava suprabhatam. So good morning to Radharani also, to Lakshmi also. So in this way he said, "I come to the temple to wish good morning to the Lord and give my attendance to him, that my Lord, please do not forget me, please remember me. I agree that I am blind, I can't see you. That doesn't mean I am not going to be your devotee. I am determined to be your devotee. So I go to the Lord's temple to show myself to the Lord." Because he said, just like if the calf puts itself in the custody of the cow, then the cow will lick the body of the calf and remove all the impurities when the calf is born. Similarly, he said, "I have full faith that when I come to the temple of the Lord, when Lord glances at me, you know, Lord by his glance is waking up the dead covered boys when Kaliya's poison had affected them, simply by his glance. So Lord's eyes are emanating Amrita Varsha. Therefore I come to temple," he said. And then he also said, "In the temple I meet sadhus. Whenever I come to temple, they tell me one or two very nice words. In the morning I get to hear from them, some sadhupadesh, and which keeps ringing in my ears all day. Because the saintly devotees, when they speak, it directly touches our chitta, our heart. In fact, our parampara is a chain of hearts. You will see, tene brahma hrida ya adikavaye mukhyanti yat suraya. Brahma touched Lord Vishnu touched the heart of Brahma and gave the Vedic wisdom. And Brahma touched the heart of Narada. And Narada touched the heart of Vedavyas. In this way, the gurus touch the heart of disciple, otherwise disciple cannot surrender to guru. Disciples can cry for the guru or surrender to guru because guru touches their heart by his own exemplary behavior, by his own surrender to the Supreme Lord. So the guru charms the heart of the disciple and places the sambandhanyan. In this way, when I come to the temple, when my heart is touched by the saintly upadesh, then when I go back, all day it keeps ringing in my ears. In this way I am getting very nice teachings every day. In this janma I am blind now. Maybe in the next life, you know, Lord will give me the eyes to see him. But whatever I am learning in the temple is beneficial to me. Therefore I come to temple," he said. Hearing this, the sage offered obeisances to that fellow and said, "You are not blind, I am actually blind," he said. "Because I thought that you are blind. You are physically blind, I am spiritually blind. he said. So that sage said, my coming to temple is only a ritual, whereas your coming to temple is spiritual. Because along with the ritual, you have the right spirit. Spirit plus ritual. So in this way, we can know that a person's faith, what is its foundation? How much proper Shraddha a person has developed in the path of devotional service? You can read, I'll give you a homework, 9.3 Bhagavad Gita. You can read the purport. There are three levels of faith, three types of, you know, first class, second class, third class purposes. Third class devotees are those whose faith is Komala Shraddha, very weak faith. Somehow they have come into the company of devotees, maybe they liked prasadam, or maybe, you know, they were badly in need of some help. Somebody doesn't have a job, they think many rich people come to this temple. If I go and hang around with a tilak, somebody will give me a job. Some people think like that. They come with some material motives, Prabhupada writes. And then when that material motive is fulfilled, they stop their bhakti. They leave the devotees after that. They don't show up. And the second class devotees, Prabhupada says, are those who do not have very vast knowledge of Shastra, but who have a very deep faith in the devotees. They have faith that this process is perfect, devotees are great, this is the Sangha I should be in. So they have very strong faith. But the Shastra they are still studying now. And the second class people will never leave, Prabhupada says. They will ordinarily not leave. Third class people can leave, he says. And the first class person, naturally, you know, he has very deep knowledge of Shastra, Bhakti Shastras. And also he has a very staunch faith, like a deep-rooted banyan tree. Nobody can shake his faith. First class faith. So we have to attain that first class Shraddha, first class faith. So how can we get that Shraddha? Who has this Shraddha? From whom can we purchase? In that song we sing, you know, Krishna se tomar, Krishna dite paro, tomara shakti ate. Sab log boliye. Krishna se tomar, Krishna dite paro, tomara. Amita Kangal, Krishna Krishna Bali, Dhaitava Pate Pate. Dhaitava Pate Pate. Ohe Vaishnava Thakura Doyara Sagara Kedase Karuna Kori. Kedase Karuna Kori. Diyapada Chaya Shodohe Amaya Tomara charan dhori. So in this verse it is said, we can gather faith from a person who possesses faith himself in Krishna. And one has a very deep-rooted faith. Anybody who associates with that person, one can get faith. In Bhagavatam, this is very graphically explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. You see, association with a woman is not as contaminating as association with a man who is attached to a woman, Bhagavatam says. So there is three Sanghi. Out of the two, who is more dangerous? Three Sanghi. For example, say you have a friend who is deeply in material illusion. He is mad after a woman. When you talk to him, he is already smiling and it's like a gone case. Yeah, he is smiling and everything. Oh, simply remembering her name, he is going mad. You have seen people like that? All of you look very innocent. I think you haven't seen. There are plenty of such people in this world. As soon as he talks about her, as soon as he comes to college, he is seeing has she come or not. And he wants to know her name, he wants to know her activities. After she is gone also, he keeps talking to other fellows. Srimad Bhagavatam, this example is used సదామయం సారభృతాం నిసర్గో యదర్థవాణి శృతి చేతసామపి. వాట్ ద థర్డ్ లైన్? ఈ సెయింగ్ లాస్ట్ లైన్ ఇస్ స్త్రియాబిటానాం ఇవసా దువార్త. సీ దిస్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఇస్ నాట్ యూస్డ్ బై మీ. హూ ఈస్ యూజింగ్ దిస్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్? శుకదేవ్ గోస్వామి ఇస్ యూజింగ్. హీ ఈస్ సెల్లింగ్ ద సెయింట్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ హౌ మచ్ ఆర్ దే మ్యాడ్ టు హియర్ అబౌట్ కృష్ణ. హీ ఈస్ టెల్లింగ్ దే ఆర్ యాజ్ మ్యాడ్ యాజ్ అ మ్యాన్ స్త్రీ లంపట్ హూ ఆల్వేస్ లైక్స్ టు డిస్కస్ అబౌట్ స్త్రీ. లైక్ దట్ సాధూస్ ఆర్ మ్యాడ్ ఆఫ్టర్ కృష్ణ. లైక్ దట్ ఈస్ టెల్లింగ్. Somebody may say, sir, how can you compare sadhus with a stree lampat? So Shukadeva Goswami says, sorry, what can I do? There is no better example than this. Because he says, everybody in this world will easily understand this example. How mad is the devotee of Krishna for Krishna? As much as a stree lampat is mad for a woman. Like that he says. So, sometimes when you are going in the road, you find boy and girl going in a bike, tightly embracing each other, they are going. So Prabhupada says, Ajamilasa, one sight in those days. Now you will see thousands of such sights. There are thousands of Ajamilas falling down every day. Prabhupada says, that means your character should be so great, even after seeing such sights, one should not get disturbed. Our bhakti and absorption should be so deep in the Lord, that even though we may get to see such sights, not pop up in your internet surfing, but even on the roads you find people. Even after seeing such a sight, you should feel pity, like Narada felt pity for Nalakur Manigrave. We should feel pity for these people. You should think that they are supposed to do this in a 400 form, I mean four-legged form, like a dog or a cat. But they are doing it like a two-legged animal. We should feel sorry for them and try to show them mercy. So therefore, if somebody goes to Poland Yatra, don't go to Poland Yatra, very dangerous. One should be so much compassionate to save the suffering souls. One will not be disturbed by the sight in Poland Yatra of men and women scantily dressed. One has no interest for sense gratification. One only wants to give Krishna to others. That's a very advanced platform. So, coming back to our point, Stri Sangi and Stri, who is more dangerous? A man who is madly attached to a woman. Similarly, Bhagavatam says it is not as useful to associate with Krishna as much as it is advantageous to associate with a mad devotee who is mad after Krishna. Like it says, Tulayamalavenapi na swargam na punarbhavam Bhagavat sangi sangasya matyanam kimutashishah. That verse says, Bhagavat Sangi, it says. Actually, in Vrindavan, like it is explained in the second para, you will find the Vrajabhasis, bhakti is very special, very unique. Nothing, no other bhakti in this world can match with the bhakti of Vrajabhasis. Even Uddhava, who is a great lover of Krishna, even he was sent by Krishna to Vrindavan to experience the Vrajabhakti. So, Vrajabhasis know the bhakti language very well. So what is Krishna's color? White or black? Krishna's color is blue. Where does Krishna reside? Somebody may say Vrindavan. No, he resides in the heart of his bhaktas. That is his residence. How is it possible to bring Krishna immediately in front of you? By remembering him with love. Like that you will see in the path of bhakti, you can have many question answers like this. Unless we know the language of bhakti, we will not know how to attract the Lord and how to attract him, how to capture him, how to control him with love. So that art is known to Vrajabhasis. Therefore Vrajabhasis are glorified in the second para here. So there is one verse which says, కృష్ణ భక్తి రసభావితామతి క్రియతామపి కుతో విలభ్యతే తత్ర లౌల్యమపి ఏకల మూల్యం జన్మ కోటి సుకృతిర్న లభ్యతే. ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ యూ హావ్ డన్ కోటి కోటి మెటీరియల్ పుణ్య, ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ పాసిబుల్ టు గెట్ భక్తి. బట్ ఇఫ్ యూ గాట్ ద అసోసియేషన్ ఆఫ్ అ భక్త, ఇన్ హూస్ హార్ట్ రిజైడ్స్ దట్ భక్తి, Bhakti Sanjataya Bhakti, it is said. From Bhakti jumps from the heart of a Bhakta into the heart of another person. So we need a Krishna addicted person to associate with. Such a Krishna addict can also make Krishna addict. Once Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was going to South India for preaching, in one place he was singing and dancing in a forest pathway. When he was dancing and going like this, in the side of that he saw a pond in which a dhobi was standing and taking a cloth and hitting on a rock. Pat, pat, like that he was hitting. The sound he was hearing like this, Mahaprabhu heard. And then he turned around. The dhobi was so absorbed in beating the clothes, he didn't even turn around and see Mahaprabhu also. But Mahaprabhu, somehow, you know, Mahaprabhu's glance falls on people who are very fortunate to receive that glance. Mahaprabhu went to his dhobi. And the dhobi looked at Mahaprabhu and continued beating. Because he thought, I have to do my work. For him, work was more important. So Mahaprabhu told him, you see, my dear dhobi, can you chant the name of Hari? He said, where do I have time? I have to wash so many big clothes. And Mahaprabhu said, okay, I will wash all your clothes. Can you chant Hari's name? He said, really? Nobody ever told this to me in my life. They will do so much of work. Okay, you wash my clothes and I will do chanting Hari, no problem. So then Mahaprabhu said, I will wash now. Now you chant Hari. Then he chanted Hari. Mahaprabhu said, please chant once more. Hari, Hari, he said. He said, Hari, Hari. Then chant once more, he said. Hari, 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 he said. And that was the end of it. After that, Mahaprabhu danced and went ahead. And then this fellow continued chanting Hari's name. Hari bolo, Hari bolo, Hari bolo bhai re, Hari bolo, Hari bolo, Hari bolo bhai re, Hari naam aniyate, Gauranga nitai re, Hari naam aniyate, Gauranga nitai. So, after this fellow, after Mahaprabhu went ahead, this fellow was still absorbed in the shock of that kirtan. He was still dancing after that. Anybody had that experience? Sunday we used to come, you know, from our college here, after Paramahansa Jagannath Maharaj does his Sunday kirtan. Now after boarding the train, after going to IIT, still that kirtan will be ringing in the ears. Yeah, once I was dancing in the lab only. I was carrying all equipments in the hand and dancing. And boys were shocked. They were asking, what are you doing? I said, what can I do? The kirtan madness, still it is there in the ears. Because when you hear from very advanced devotees, the kirtan pierces the ears and the heart. So, this fellow's situation was like that also. So, after that, his wife saw, till noon this fellow hasn't come, she came. And seeing his situation, oh, she thought this nut has got loose. Then she went and told all the villagers and panchayat people, everybody came and they saw his situation. Somebody came and shook him and that fellow got Harinam shock also. Anybody who touched him got Hari shock. Like that. In this way, the whole village became devotees. But why I'm telling you, if you will see, Prabhupada was one such person who carried the Nityananda Avesh and went to the West and he shook the people of the West. Today you go and see in the West how difficult preaching is. It's not very easy. Because people are so stupid in sense gratification, you go to shake them, you will only be dragged inside. It's very difficult to shake the people. Unless the bhakti current is very strong in a person, he cannot influence other people and instill faith in their hearts. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, preaching means establishing faith in the holy name in the hearts of others. If you can convince people to chant 16 rounds, make them committed devotees, then you are actually giving them Shraddha and Bhakti. That is actual preaching. So, therefore, Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya. So, we have to find out such a devotee in whose heart resides the faith, Shraddha. And one should associate with the devotee. So how do we associate? That is explained in one of the verses. What is that verse by Prithu Maharaj? In two verses, actually I only know the series. The first verse he says, Lord Vishnu is asking Prithu Maharaj, what do you want? What benediction do you want? You know what he asked? What is the first verse he said? He said that, my dear Lord, I don't want any material benedictions. Yenarakanam abhisanti dehinam tanisha kaivalya pate vrinenacha. He said, my dear Lord, you are a giver of kaivalya or moksha. You are a moksha pradayak. Why will I ask for material benedictions like, you know, going to heaven and all that? So Lord Vishnu asked him, that means it seems you are interested in moksha? Immediately Prithu Maharaj said, na kamayena tatadapyaham kuchin na yatra yushmacharanam bujasavah. He says, no, my Lord, I don't want moksha also. He says, Lord says, the whole world is after me for getting moksha. You don't want moksha, liberation from this world and going to Brahma Jyoti, and you can relax in easy chair in Brahma Jyoti, shanti, shanti, shanti. You don't want that? He's saying, no. He says, why? Na yatra yushmacharanam pujasabha. In Brahma Jyoti, there is no honey available, which is dripping from your lotus feet. Lord was surprised. What is that honey you are talking from my lotus feet? Even I don't know about it, he said. And by the way, what is that honey and where do you get that honey? The Lord asked. So in response, Prithu says, na yatra yushmacharanam pujasabha mahattamantar hridayan mukachito. Vidatsvakarana yutameshame varehi is saying, your honey from your lotus feet resides in the heart of your pure devotees who carry a kalash in their heart of your honey. And that oozes out of their mouth when they glorify your name, form, qualities, pastimes and activities. When the pure devotees keep remembering you out of great affection for you, remembering you, they narrate your pastimes. At that time, the honey from their heart overflows. And when it overflows, he says, I am hankering for that honey only. So, what is the next verse he says? Sa uttama shloka mahan mukachito. Sa uttama shloka mahan mukachito. That uttama shloka, the choice poetry is emanating from the lips of your poor devotees. At that time, he is saying, that just like the wind carries fragrance. Bhavat padambo jasuda kananilaha smritim punar vismrita tatpa vartmanam kuyoginam no vidaratyalambarahi is telling, when they are speaking your glories, just like a wind carries fragrance of rose or jasmine, like that the sound vibration emanating from your pure devotee's mouth carries your name, form, qualities and pastimes. It carries the honey. And we have to receive the honey how? From the mouth? No, from the ears. He's saying, you have to receive that honey through the ears. If you hear it, what it does, one most important thing it does, it destroys forgetfulness of Krishna and establishes remembrance of Krishna. This is the fruit of hearing from pure devotees, he's telling. So, we all can look back in our own lives, how we were so forgetful, wandering in this world like a fool, you know, engaging in various materialistic activities, not having proper understanding of Krishna. Actually, we knew Krishna's name and we knew Krishna's form, but we didn't know actual Krishna. What kind of personality Krishna is. Until we came across Prabhupada's books and Parampara Acharyas. So, in this way, we have to destroy our forgetfulness of Krishna and establish remembrance of Krishna by hearing from the lips of pure devotees who can glorify the Lord's name, form, qualities and pastimes. So, and now, when you talk about these pastimes, first of all, it is already dismissed that the Brahman and Paramatma understanding is very meager understanding. Because the cowherd boys, they are all dancing with Krishna, you know, going to forest with Krishna and cows and calves. Whereas the jnanis are only getting a glimpse of Krishna's toenail shine. That's all they are getting. First paragraph, Prabhupada dismisses them. But even in the understanding of Krishna's personality, the Dwaraka understanding of Krishna and Vrindavan understanding of Krishna, there is a big difference. See, in Dwaraka, the Lord is very respectfully treated. Like there is one verse which says that Rajamargam gate krishne dwarakaya purastriyah harmyani aruruhur vipra uttama shloka. He says that the ladies in Dwaraka, who come from very royal families. They wear very costly sarees and jewelry and everything. And they are very pure women. So these women, they climb on the top of the roof of their palaces. In that purport, Prabhupada writes, there are multi-story building at that time also, Prabhupada writes. So of course, may not be like this, 40-story, 50-story. There were 6-7 stories, Prabhupada says. So they climbed on the rooftop, and from there they were watching Krishna going through the Rajamargam. Rajamargam Gate Krishna, Dwarakaya Purastriyaha, Harmyani Adurhur. They climbed on the top of those palaces. And then it is said, Nityam Nirikshamananam Yadapidwarakaukasam, Navidrupyantihi Drishaha Shriyo Damangamachutam. Although they saw him every day, they never got tired of seeing him. Like we see Radha Gopinath every day. Lord is coming in different vesh and different dresses every day. So one should be eager to take the Lord's darshan. That Lord tells Uddhava in the 11th canto also. And if you are not having eagerness to see, I want to see in what dress my Lord is wearing today. What color dress he is wearing today. What style he is wearing. Sometimes we decorate Krishna in various types of dresses, isn't it? Just like a mother sometimes want to dress her child. Sometimes I have seen mothers, they have a little girl, they'll put a gopi dress one day when they bring to temple, isn't it? Another day they'll put a frock, like an American child, American girl or something. So sometimes they put a jata like this, like Indian jata, regular. Sometimes they put a rubber band here above. So they are eager to see their child decorated in different way and just see the beauty of the child. And they're repeatedly seeing the beauty of the child, the child's remembrance enters the chitta of the mother. Therefore, any mother can see the form of the child in the absence of the child also. See, you can only remember the form of that person whom you love. Otherwise, you cannot remember. Like when you talk to your mother or father on phone, you know, as soon as you hear the sound, immediately you see their form. Correct? How do you see the form? It's called voice print, we call it. You hear a person's voice, you can see the person's form if you love that person. Similarly, when we chant Hare Krishna, the forms of Radha and Krishna immediately manifest in the heart. Like Narottamdas Thakur sings, Aha Prabhu Nanda Suta Vrishabhano Suta Yuta, Aha Prabhu Nanda Karuna Karo Yeyivaro, Karuna Karo Yeyivaro, Narottam dase koi na te liho ranga poi. Toma bina ke ate amara. Dino hino yata chilo hari na me udarilo. Tara Sakhi Jagai Maharaj. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda come to give Harinam. And by chanting the Harinam, we get access to the darshan of Shishir Radha and Krishna. Like that he is telling. But when we chant, it's completely like a blackout. Why? Because we haven't awakened that love. You ask a mother, when you think of your child, is it blackout for you? No. You ask any mother, they can remember the child. Similarly, husband can remember the wife, wife can remember the husband's form, because they associate regularly. So one secret I will reveal to you here, which I read in Prabhupada's books, prolonged exposure causes impressions in the mind. So mother gets prolonged exposure to child, husband gets prolonged exposure to wife. So we have to give prolonged exposure to Krishna and the Shastras. And we should give zero exposure to sense gratification, which is not very easy to do. Isn't it? So, unfortunately, we again and again, like if you know the kabaddi, there is one line which, you know, people, if you cross that line, you have a problem, you know that, no? You'll be caught by the people. So people go and touch that line and come. Similarly, we have a tendency to touch Maya and come back. Come back. You go near Maya and come. And because we are giving repeated touch with Maya, what exposure we are giving more to mind? Maya touch. We are giving. And Krishna is for a waiting. Krishna is waiting. When this fellow is going to come? This fellow is ignorant again in that direction. But if you can take an about turn from Maya and then repeatedly give Krishna exposure, that is one very powerful way to remember the Lord. Then one will be able to remember the Lord, repeated exposure. Just like a blotting paper, if you touch with a ink pen, it expands. Our mind has the same nature. Whatever you feed the mind, mind expands it. You give spiritual food, it will expand the spiritual food. You give mundane inputs, it will expand the mundane input. But the problem is, how we can convince this most adamant fellow sitting inside this body, which is ourselves, how to convince this person to say yes to Krishna and no to Maya, isn't it? That will come by association of advanced devotees as Prithu Maharaj prayed to Lord. Please give me that association of such devotees who are your lovers, he said. So, Vrindavan Dham is filled with people whose hearts are continuously in spiritual mental absorption. I used to call this as TII, Transcendentally Inspired Intelligence. Our intelligence should become transcendentally inspired. Because in this world, our intelligence becomes a slave of our mind, which is very impure. Therefore, the intelligence becomes a slave of the mind and makes plans for the mind how to do sense gratification, unfortunately. Therefore, the mind becomes cunning and cheats the intelligence. Actually, mind is compared to your wife. Children are compared to senses. Husband is compared to the intelligence. Now you compare husband, wife and children. Intelligence, mind and senses. So the children, Prabhupada says, should be obedient to mother. And the lady should be obedient to the husband. And the husband should be obedient to guru. Correct, no? That is the ideal situation. But what happens, the children are very naughty. They are all screaming, you know, Amma, I want cocoa chocolate. They are making noise. And the mother is shouting at the husband, look at these children, they are screaming, why don't you give them money? The husband says, wife has told me to give money, what can I do? Okay, lay low. He gives. So you find the family is going in opposite direction. Correct, no? And children are pulling mother is pulling husband, and the husband is cut off from guru. No connection with guru. Then the gadi is going in opposite direction. Actually speaking, the husband should pull the wife and children towards guru and Krishna. That is right direction. So we all have our intelligence and our mind and our senses. Our intelligence should become inspired by transcendental information from the Shastra. TII, Transcendentally Inspired Intelligence. Akrura had transcendentally inspired intelligence. I will tell you where I got this word from. There is a verse. When Yashoda wanted Krishna Balaram back in her palace, because Nanda Baba had already sat for eating prasad at lunchtime, she told Rohini to go and call. So Rohini went and called. Krishna Balaram were fully absorbed in playing. It was actually Krishna's appearance day. So when Rohini called, Balaram said, hey, Kana, the Maya has come to call. Then Krishna turned to Balaram and asked, who has come? He said, Rohini has come. Rohini, forget it. Come on, let's go and play. Rohini, I don't have to fear so much. And they continued playing. Then Rohini went back and told Yashoda, hey Yashoda, I don't have as much love as you have for the children. When you call, they will come. From here we learn one lesson. We need intense love to attract the Lord. Because Lord is not a very cheap person. You can't pay him some bribe and get his attention. Because he is the source of everything. So we need a very pure and innocent heart, untainted by material gunas. And that heart only can attract the Lord. So now Yashoda personally went. And Yashoda's way of calling, if you see, there are beautiful verses there. She is calling, Krishna Krishna Aravindaksha Tataye Histanam Piba Alam Bihare Krukshanta Krida Shantosi Putraka. She is telling, hey Krishna, Krishna, two times ecstatically she is calling. When you are in ecstasy, you repeat a word. And she is calling Aravindaksha. Aravindaksha means one who is lotus-eyed. This is the way in Vrindavan people call. They directly don't call Krishna's names. Nainonketara Govinda Bolore Nainonketara Govinda Bolore.
Jaya Gopal, Jaya Gopal, Jaya Radha Varan, Dina Dayal, Jaya Gopal, Jaya Gopal, Jaya Radha Varan. So this is from my impressions I got in 91, in the same temple hall, when Paramjaranath Maharaj would sing this always. There are some songs which he used to sing which are difficult to erase from our mind. This is one of them. So, in this way, she's calling, oh darling, oh apple of my eye, she's calling. Come and drink milk, you must be very tired due to playing for such a long time. You must be very tired due to hunger. But Krishna felt, neither am I hungry, nor am I tired due to playing. Why mother is coming and disturbing me? Let me continue playing. He thought like that. Then she is turning to Balram. Hey Balram, this Krishna is not listening to me. So I am calling you. Hey Rama, agacha. She said, hey Rama, agacha. Hey Balram, come. She is calling. Sanuja kulanandana. Sa Anuja means, don't come alone. Catch your younger brother's hand and bring him also. Sa Anuja kulanandana. Oh, glory of your dynasty. Please come. She is calling. Pratare vakritana. He is saying, early morning you all took little breakfast and came. Now you must be very hungry. See, if somebody tells you, hey, today is feast, what are you doing? Then immediately you take plate and run. So she's reminding them of a full feast, lunch. Then she's turning to Krishna and saying, hey Krishna, today is your birthday, Gokulashtami day. You are supposed to come and give cows to the Brahmanas and all. And your father is waiting. Then she's telling, look at your friends. She's telling, look at your equal boys, friends. They are all neatly bathed, nicely dressed, wearing jewelry and ornaments and turban, everything. Look at them and look at you, how you are. This is actually child psychology. If a mother says, good boys wear shoes, like that a mother says, immediately the boy will wear the shoe and say, mom, what do you say now? Like that he will ask. Mom will say, since you are wearing shoes now, you are a good boy. So the children are generally competitive in nature. So Yashoda used their competitive nature to tell Krishna that, look at your friends, why you are not neat and clean. Krishna, she thought immediately Krishna will agree. Still he wasn't coming. He was still playing. Then Krishna told his friends, my dear friends, I will finish lunch in 5 minutes and come back. Can you all wait? Friends said, yes, sir, we will wait. But when you come back, then you have to sit in the side and watch us playing. Because right now you are about to lose. At that time you are escaping. So we will not let you play. Krishna said, if that is the condition, then let's continue playing. Like this, Krishna and Balaram are very difficult to bring home. At that time, Yashoda, this verse says, Itam Yashoda tamashesha shekharam matva sutam sneha nibaddha dhirnrupa haste grihitva Saharamamachutam Nitvasvavatam Kritavatyathodayam. This verse says, Ittham Yashoda. In this way, Yashoda, Tamashesha Shekharam. That Krishna, whose body was like a neelamani and soft like butter, the body which will never touch any dust, which is always glowing, you know, glowing like close-up toothpaste. You have seen blue color? Transparent blue, you have seen? Glistening, glowing like that. So Krishna's body is like a neelamani, glowing. There is no dust in that body. But she as a mother thought that I have to bathe that body out of love. Simply out of love. Matva asutam. Matva asutam means she accepted that child as her own son. Sneha nibaddha dhir. From here only I got this word. Transcendently inspired intelligence. Sneha means affection. Nibbaddha means bound, dhi means intelligence. Her intelligence was completely imbued with Krishna thought, Krishna remembrance. Nripa, oh King Parikshit, this was her mindset, which we all are aspiring for in our life. Some day will come when we will be mad after Krishna like Akrura or Yashoda or the Vajabhasis. And then what she did, because her intelligence was so strong in love for Krishna, she could capture Krishna and Balaram. Haste grihitva. Grihitva means to grasp. Who? Saharamam achyutam. In one hand Rama and another hand Achyuta.
Nitva swavatam kritavatya todayam. She took her, took both the Godhead back home. So in this way, we go back home, back to Godhead, and she took Godhead back home. So by her intense love for Krishna, she could take them home like that. So in this way, this Vraja Bhakti, which Srila Prabhupada awarded even in the Western world, and made even the people of the West understand it. It's not an ordinary thing. How he offered the highest thing. If you want to know how it is special, there is one section in the first canto where the Kauravendra Purastri, they all climb up to the rooftop also when Krishna is leaving Hastinapura. That time they all are doing some prajalpa, but their prajalpa is glorified in Bhagavatam. Therefore you can know it's not ordinary prajalpa. One day here in 94, I think, Parampuja Rajanath Maharaj was, I was standing here and taking darshan. Maharaj came from behind and then he put his hand in the shoulder and I was first shocked. Then he said, Radhasham, look at our altar, how beautiful Radha Gopinath's altar is. I said, yes, Maharaj. And then Maharaj said, look at those two monkeys in the altar. Do you see they are talking to each other? He said, yes, Maharaj, they appear to be talking, looking at each other and talking something. And Maharaj said, in spiritual world, even the parrots talk to each other. Even the cows and calves talk to each other about Krishna. And then Maharaj said, can you say what the monkeys are talking to each other? I said, Maharaj, that is difficult. That's a difficult question. Maybe you can tell. I don't know what are they talking. He said, they are doing transcendental prajalpa. He said, what are they doing? Transcendental prajalpa. So what is transcendental prajalpa? Transcendental prajalpa means discussing about Krishna. Like the gopis are talking to each other. They are telling, see, this Krishna is a big menace in our life. Ever since we became attracted to Krishna, this fellow goes away to the forest and he doesn't come back till the evening. And this foolish creator Brahma, he has given us these eyes with eyelids. What is the need of these eyelids? Because evening when Krishna comes with his covered boys, when we try to see him, at the time these eyelids get closed. So Brahma claims to be the biggest of the creators, but he is a foolish creator. Because we feel we don't have the guts to clip off our eyelids. We are not so great in our pure devotion. So they are criticizing Brahma. Atatiyat brajat akhnikananam. Atatiyat brajat akhnikananam. Rutir yogayate vama pashyatam. Rutir yogayate vama pashyatam. Kutila kuntalam shri mukham chate. Kutila kuntalam shri mukham chate. Jadamudikshata pakshmadve grisha. Jadamudikshata pakshmadve. So this is what gopis are saying. Similarly, they are talking about Krishna. Look at this fellow. Krishna is a very cruel person. When one Shurpanakha came, what was the demand of Shurpanakha? She only said, why didn't you marry me? Is it wrong for a girl to request Krishna to marry her? After all, he is so beautiful. He is the Supreme Lord. But look at this fellow. He told his brother to cut her nose and drove her away. Is he not very cruel? That means gopis don't see difference between Krishna and Ram. They know that this person is the same fellow. Ram and Krishna and Vishnu, they are able to see all our Aikyam in Krishna. They all come from Krishna only, Ram and Vishnu also. But the point I am telling you, the gopis sometimes appear to be doing prajalpa, but the prajalpa is also about Krishna. Like they are telling, when Narada came, they complained to Narada also. They said, Narada, do you know, sometime ago Uddhava came and went. We told Uddhava, the remembrance of Krishna is haunting us like a serpent bite. We want to get rid of it. And we asked Uddhava what to do, and that fellow is teaching us how to do, you know, yogic mudra, yogic dhyana. And we tried it also, still it didn't work. The more we tried to get rid of Krishna from our heart, we could not. Just like we are chanting holy name and try to get Krishna into our heart. We are not able to get Krishna inside and they are not able to get Krishna outside. Isn't it? So they said, Narada said, my dear gopis, you will not be able to do that. Why? When heart is dhruta chitta, melted heart, like you know, they make this wax for sealing the packets. If the wax is melted and you put some turmeric or some red powder inside, when it dries up, can you take the powder out? No. Similarly, when your heart was softened in devotion to Krishna, at that time he called out his name. So now you are gone, now Krishna has entered your heart, you cannot take him out. Narada said like that. So, in this way, you will find the gopis are doing transcendental prajalpa. Those Kauravendra Purastri Nam, about them also there is information. Anyonnamasit sanjalpa uttamashloka chetasam Kauravendra Purastrinam Sarva Shruti Manohara. Their speech was more nectarian than Shruti's also. Even Shruti's have to fold their palms and hear from those ladies because they glorified Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes and Mathura pastimes as the ultimate. As it is explained in this particular verse. So, there are some folk songs which are glorifying Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. Although they may appear to be in a crude, ordinary language, they actually carry, there is one Uttukudi in South India, one very great Vaishnava devotee, who made all the Bhagavatam verses into songs, which are like folk songs. So, I will tell you one such folk song, which is in line with Bhagavatam, and I will conclude my talk. I am supposed to finish at 10 o'clock. So, the song goes like this. Vishamakara Kannan Vedikai Patu Padi Vidam Vidam Mai Atam Madi Narikuru Lilai Seyam Nanda Gopala Krishnan Vishamakara Kannan. What is the meaning of this? See, this Krishna is a very mischievous fellow. One elderly gopi is singing this song. She is telling, this fellow is a very naughty fellow, mischievous fellow. Why? He, Vedikai Patu Padi means he always sings and dances like a dancing actor. In every muhurta, he will do one new leela. New leela he keeps doing in Vrindavan and charming the hearts of everybody. And then she is singing further that Krishna will call the neighborhood. He will find out in the neighborhood if there is a little gopi there. He will call, hey gopi, come here. So when the gopi would come, he would ask, do you know Murari Raga? Can you sing for me? And she will say, I don't know Murari Raga. I know other ragas. Can I sing? He will say, no, only Murari Raga you want. If you don't know, he will twist her ears. And she would scream, ah, like that she would scream. He said, Murari Raga is like this only. So, in this way she is telling. Similarly, he says that she is singing, Vennai Pane Mudakudadu. When he goes to some house of a gopi, in case the pots are all closed with a lid and tightly, you know, they have bound it with ropes and kept, he'll become very angry. Which means the pots should be kept open, the butter pots for him. And in case he finds the pot open, he'll be very happy. Immediately he'll put his hand, and when he is eating the butter, suddenly the gopi comes. Nobody should ask him, hey, why are you stealing butter? Amma gitte solla koodadu. That means nobody should go and complain to his amma. Who is it? Yashodaya. And then solli vittal adakkalangal thanga onna. He is saying, in case somebody has complained to Yashoda, he will make such a big hue and cry. He will make, why did you tell my mother? You can tell everybody in Vrindavan except my mother. Because she is one person I cannot tackle. Like that Krishna says. Summa oru சும்மா ஒரு பேச்சுக்காக திருடன் என்று சொல்லிவிட்டால் she saying that just for the sake of joking you call him hey butter thief you tell him immediately he will turn back to you and say your mother your grandfather your atya your mommy everybody is a thief not me like that is so in this way this is about his butter stealing past time then he is saying so there are so this is a very beautiful song very beautiful song actually similarly you may have in marathi also you have a song utti utti gopala utti utti gopala அருணோதய ஜாலா அருணோதய ஜாலா நந்த கேலாலா யசோதா துலாலா நந்த கேலாலா யசோதா So, you all know, all of you in your own mother tongue, you have more affinity for your mother tongue. Huh? When you hear these songs in your mother tongue, if there are folk songs, but they are in line with Srimad Bhagavatam, huh? That can deeply touch your heart. Hmm? So, there are many great South Indian poets who have glorified Krishna's pastimes of butter stealing, his dancing on Kaliya and such pastimes very elaborately. Mother Yashoda feeding food to Krishna by showing the moon, huh? Like that many pastimes. So, Prabhupada says here, the climax point in our spiritual life is coming to a point where we can relish these pastimes sincerely, honestly with our heart and we enter into the spirit of the Vrajabhasis, huh? And we forget the material variety in this world completely. Hmm? Material variety is cheating variety. It is not true variety. Because everybody's body gradually gets older and it's a perishable commodity made up of 24 material elements. But that material variety has become like a big booth, ghost, which is occupying our heads now, all around, coming through the Facebook and WhatsApp, entering our heads. And like imagine somebody has a ghost has entered into the system, you know, creating a havoc. So we have to get that booth out of our system. For that we have to, Vrindavan has to enter our head. If we develop attraction for this Vrindavan pastimes, we are extremely fortunate. And Srila Prabhupada, without compromise, has explained these things. Prabhupada said, I am writing Krishna book to give solace to the devotees. And Prabhupada said, when devotees read Krishna book, they will forget the material world there. They can try and be transported to the spiritual world. So this is called gold standard. Before we go to gold standard, we have to fulfill the iron standard criteria. You know what is iron standard? We have to hear about Kala, Guna, Prakriti, Karma, all these things from Gita and Bhagavatam. We have to study the... Therefore, Prabhupada, one time Prabhupada was telling, there is Vrindavan Krishna, there is Kurukshetra Krishna. Kurukshetra Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita. Vrindavan Krishna performs Bhagavatam. He doesn't only speak, he acts actually in Bhagavatam. So before you can appreciate Vrindavan Krishna, we have to appreciate Kurukshetra Krishna, who is speaking Bhagavad Gita. So Kurukshetra Krishna gives iron standard. And then you go to Vrindavan Krishna, you get gold standard. His Holiness Shivaram Swami explains this in Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani book. I read it. So he says that sometimes you hear Krishna's pastimes, you get an overdose sometimes. You can't digest it. Like if you take Sona Basma, you can't digest it. Therefore, he says, first, in order to get digestion of Vrindavan pastimes, we have to first hear the iron standard, which is Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, Karma. We have to study them first in Bhagavad Gita and develop a staunch faith in the truths explained in Bhagavad Gita, how the three gunas are acting, how Kala is acting, Karma is acting. After we develop sufficient fear of Maya, then we should approach the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we will be able to develop attraction for the Vrindavan pastimes. So from this verse onwards, Lord is going to tell Uddhava many, many sweet verses on Bhakti Yoga, the supreme path of Bhakti. In Karma Yoga, you engage the senses. In Jnana Yoga, you engage the mind in speculation. In Ashtanga Yoga, you engage the intelligence. And in Bhakti Yoga, which one you engage? Not only the soul, but the soul along with Kaya Vacha Manasa. Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Buddhyatmana Vapakrade Svabhavat Karomi Yadyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Yeti Samarpaye Tat. Like that, Bhagavatam 11th canto, there is one verse. So, let us engage our souls, our body, our mind, our words in very strictly and faithfully following the teachings of Srila Prabhupada through his purports, and let us experience the Praja Bhakti in our hearts in this very life and go back to that eternal realm of Braja, Goloka Vrindavana, where every word is a song, every gate is a dance, and water is like honey, and flute is a favorite attendant, and where one will never be separated from Krishna even for a moment. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. I have one small quick announcement to you. Recently I am publishing some books which are good for corporate people, those who are working in companies. One such book, we have put a book table called Art of Smart Work. But don't think it is only for the corporate people. I would say that these books are very good for devotees also. Another book is coming today evening in Pune. Only one book has come here. The second book is called 12 Tips to Convert Stress into Smile. That's the second book. The current book is Art of Smart Work. So the Art of Smart Work gives you 7 or 8 different ideas on how to conserve your energy, how to conserve your time, and how to act in different situations to come out victorious while dealing in different relationships, while dealing with time, while dealing with things in this world. So these are explained in very lucid terms, but the basis for this is Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. But when you see this, like 3 gunas, Venn diagram I have put and explained in terms of the Raja Rishi and company leadership also. So you will see that. So these books will help you in 2 ways. One way, it will help you in many times devotees are also very stressed because they are overloaded. They have to do sadhana also, they have to do profession also and family also, everything. So these books will also help us to know how to balance our life and everything and learn the art of smart work, not work harder, but work smarter. So that is one thing. And another thing is, many of you may want to know how to connect to new people, especially company-going people and educated people who are not devotees. So these books will give you a clue on, you know, what you can speak to them and share with them in a way that they can appreciate. So you can see the book for yourself. You know, I also want the blessings of all of you, because I am embarking on a project of bringing 100 such books. This is the first book which has come. There are 10 courses with each 10 books. So they are all named with headings. So we want to introduce it in colleges and schools eventually. Some are like behavioral science. Some are personality development. Some are character build-up. So this book is available at the gate. If you wish, you can pick up a copy. It's only 30 rupees. So first pocket book is released now. And if you like, the series will be coming out. I want to bring out one book in 2 months or one book in a month, like that. And once it is done, it will be a very good tool for devotees to use in their preaching to new people. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.